Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Good to see you here tonight. Let's find a hymnal. Turn over to number 65, just over in the glory land. Let's all stand together. Sunday school class, they were talking about having encouraging words that might be at the wrong time. So I heard. Your husband told us. And so I was thinking about this. Well, at least we're going to be there together. There's inappropriate times to give that encouragement. But man, what a wonderful thought to think about those things, those people that we're going to, that we miss now, that have gone on to heaven. And listen, let alone to be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. But I tell you, you know, we're going to see Him face to face. I just wonder, I was thinking about I feel like we practice hard. I mean, it's only like 30 minutes, but to sing, and some of it's a little painful, right? It's hard, it's painful, we're singing. Peyton's like, it is. And but I wonder, when we get into heaven, are we just all going to know how to sing? We can all carry a tune in, you know, like a big bucket. You know what I mean? Isn't that going to be awesome? I don't know. Or maybe our hearing will be better. Right? And we'll hear it the right way, whatever it comes. Either way, what a wonderful time it's going to be one day when we're face to face with the Savior in this throng of people that have had their sins forgiven, and now we get to see the Savior face to face. On that last verse,
with the blood washed on, I will shout and sing, just over in the glory land.
Good evening, everybody.
so much, Joaquin told us this morning about your ministry. It's wonderful to hear about all that. And I made up some questions. I don't know if the pastor explained to you what we do, but we highlight our letters that we get from people, from our missionaries, and then we talk about them and have questions, and we get stamps, and it's really exciting. So here we go. Here's some questions. I hope I don't do you an injustice. I don't have a lot. You gave us so much information, but here's a couple questions. And I got my stamp, folks. Okay, Joaquin met Paki. In what church ministry did they meet?
Youth ministry.
Bingo, youth ministry. Youth ministry. See, they did listen. Just bring your, you don't have it? I'll get you next time. I'll remember.
Oh, I got a stamp to see it.
Oh, okay, that's true. There you go. That's an interesting thought. Okay. All right. Let's see. While he was pursuing God, Joaquin started a trade, something to make money. What was that trade?
Painting
it was. Yes, he loved it too. It was a necessary thing. That was a family question. If you didn't have something else, I'll give you another sticker. But I'd say that was family. Good. There you go. You're welcome. Okay, here's a geography question. What state did Joaquin go to study the Bible? I think I saw over this one. Did you see anybody? Brother David. Yes. North Carolina. Beautiful state. That's geography. Very good. You do indeed. Okay, here's a church question. The very first church the Lopez's planted was near what large northeast Spanish city? This was in 1997. Bingo, Barcelona. Very good. Okay, a couple more. These are spirituality questions. Pastor told us there were four things that God gave us that we could not get for ourselves. One was Jesus. One was the Holy Spirit. One was the Bible. The last thing was the church. You can see how important that is. I've never seen a crowd this large on Sunday night. It's great. Nice job. Yep. Okay, one more spirituality question. To be successful Christians, there are four things we must do that God cannot do for us, Joaquin told us. One was daily put on the armor of God. Two was to seek things above, not here on the earth. Three, not to love any earthly things. And this one would lead into the brother's message tonight. What's the last one? Yeah, what two words we usually call that? Yep, you got it. Very good. The Great Commission, the good news, Matthew 28:18. I'm going to give you a... Very good. Nice job. Glad you guys are here.
Amen. I'll give you. Amen. We do want to make sure that if you're here tonight, you get the card and get it signed. It's worth twice the value with the signature on it. Right? Man, that's going to be... How many didn't get a card yet? Oh, something like, right? Get a card, get them sign it, and you can have one tonight. Otherwise, you're going to have to work hard to earn it. And with some stiff competition around here, I don't know that you would encourage as such Baptist competition as missions trivia. Amen? Amen. I love it. I praise the Lord for that. And so, amen. Thank you, Brother John, for doing that, and appreciate it. And let's turn over to number 296. Follow on. Let's all stand together. 296. Down in the valley with my Savior I would go, where the water blooming and the sweet waters flow. Everywhere He leads me I would follow, follow on, walking in His footsteps and the ground be won. And I counted it up. We went to a young adults conference with our young adults, you know, our girls. It was right over in Orlando. We just found out about it at teen camp, and we in just a little over 24 hours, we heard 10 messages, and I counted up since from camp and preaching. So in the past 3 weeks, after tonight, that'd be 42 messages I heard, not counting the ones I preached. And then we're going, and a couple of the girls, yeah, these two there, we're going to be going to a conference Tuesday and be there, come back Friday. So we're going to be, you know, so I don't know how many are going to be there. It's a lot of preaching. And so, you know, sometimes we hear something that's really good. I mean, just a good message with a good truth. And we're like, man, that's good. I'm going to remember that. And then we go, and like 15 minutes later, he's like, what, you know, what did the pastor preach about? Oh, it was good. What was it? It's about Jesus and stuff, right? You ever do that? You're like, that is so good, I'm not going to forget it. And then you, like, 8 minutes later, you forgot it. Take notes. Take notes. I've got about 3 notebooks full of stuff I've got out of those 42 messages. I'm going to have to go back and spend some time digesting that, right? It's too much. It's too much. We Baptist people get a lot of preaching. We get a lot of preaching, let alone with all the conferences. We get a lot of preaching, so we sometimes need to go back and digest that. And so, you know, take notes on that. But one thing that was interesting, and I was thinking about with this song, I would follow Jesus, you know, down in the valley, down these places. Yeah, he goes down. I'm with him. I'm with him, right? That's easy singing. Brother Shetler, couple weeks ago at youth camp, he gave this illustration. Then he gave it again just this past week. And he had an envelope that said, the will of God for your life. He said, wouldn't you love to have, and he said, as a you know, pastor of the church there with college group. He said students would come to him all the time and say, "Pastor, I need to tell you what does God want me to do in this thing?" He said, "I'm just so glad you came by," and he pulled this thing out. And he said, "I've got this. God just sent me this for you," right? And so they knew it was funny. And then he said this, and he said, "If God did send this to me, and this is for you, and I opened up this envelope, are you right now willing to say, whatever's in there, I will do? Whatever's in there, if it says yes to your question, or it says no, or it says do this, or it says go to Spain, right? Or it says stay where you're at, are you willing to right now to say, no matter what it says in there, I like it to where I'm not really sure. You know what I'm saying? I mean, because all of a sudden, I'm telling you, to really be willing like that, to follow Him no matter where it goes, that's going to be a challenge. And so, and it is a challenge. And really, all God wants is all this meager life that we have. All He wants is just us. And what a trade-off. Jesus Christ for us. Who got the bad deal on that? But the truth is, He gives us all of Him, and He surrendered it. So I want to just go through a couple of announcements. That was just extra. A couple of announcements. As was mentioned, I do want to reiterate that next Sunday is our summer fellowship dinner. So be here. It's our last fellowship of the summer. We probably won't have one until in the winter. Okay, the school is getting to a place, taking everything down to make the space. So we've kind of had a few this summer. And so this will be our last one for a while. We may find some other holiday somewhere in there to do another one. But be together for that. And so plan on that next Sunday. Plan on that next Sunday. Bring something and stay and eat with us. And we'll have some singing and so forth. And with the Heritage Baptist Academy beginning here August 10th. I mean, whew, we're just a couple weeks away. We're making some schedule changes this year because just some different things. You know, last year was our inaugural year, and so we did some things. We're trying to somewhat, we're going to match a little bit more of the school district here, but also some other things that we're trying to, we get some other class, some other things, and the more we do, the more the calendar gets a little bit squeezed over things. But anyway, we're moving our chapel to Fridays. And I know some of y'all get me excited. You're like, man, if it was on a different day, I could do it. Well, amen. Amen. I don't know if anybody said that. I've just made that up. But anyway, it's going to be, chapel is going to be on Fridays from 10:55 till 11:30. Last year we had an hour for chapel. Really, I think we had 50 minutes and an hour. It was just too long. And even when people did a great job, there, the kids were just like, you know, if you're sitting there doing schoolwork and then you come and sit another hour, it can be challenging. And so we wanted to, so we kind of cut it down to about 30 minutes. And so you're like, wow, man, okay, now I can maybe do that. You know, 15, 20 minutes, you know, something like that. And so Fridays, about 10:55, 11 o'clock, be here before that. But anyway, we'll get to that, but I want to encourage you, if you're interested, what it takes to be speak in chapel here at Heritage Baptist Academy is to be a member of Heritage Baptist Church. So if you're a member, you could come and do that. We'd sure like you to sign up. And you say, I'm not a very good speaker. Well, you could stay a not a very good one. You could just stay in not a very good one that really doesn't do it at all. Or you could try to give something to kids, share your life a little bit with them. And our group is a little bit harsh. They are judgy. No, I'm kidding. They, you know, I'm imagining this year will be the same. They just, it's come and some are different. Everyone's different. I've had preachers I've sat there listening to and they could hardly keep me awake. I mean, just like, man, I don't know what he said. I was confused. Somebody will come out after that message and be like, man, that was awesome. And they'll tell something. I'm thinking, wow, isn't that amazing? You know, sometimes you think you've laid an egg and somebody cracks it open, makes something with it. You know, I'm thinking, wow, it's amazing. So, if you don't invest, it'll be a rotten egg. see how I kept that illustration going. Yeah. So there's that. That's Fridays. And so we'll start signing some up. Do we have sign up back there? It is back there. So if you'd like to, you look at it. It's like, I'm not sure. I got to check the dates. Go back and look at that. I do for that. I have some lessons available. You're like, you know, I'm not sure. I have some outlines. You know, you got to put some meat to those bones, but I've got some things you're like, I'm not sure I've used some. I think Brother John, I've used some, and I've done it two or three times just to make sure it's, you know, it's good and it's easy and in that space. And so we have that. And so if you're like, if you give me some, I'd sure be glad to do it. And if you've got some ideas, do that. So that's coming up here in just a few weeks. We'd love to have you. Brother Bob heads up the scheduling on that and so forth with that time. And so if you come and get with him, we'll have a sign-up sheet and all that back there. And then our nursing home minister, I mentioned it this morning, but I didn't say when. It's starting August 13th. And so some are like, is that like this Thursday? No, we talked to them, and they said we tried to find one that didn't have something else already. I don't know that they had any. Didn't sound like they had much of anything. And so before Brother Kenny was here, and he was begging somebody to come do this and singing, and he said they'd go up there and sing, and we just, at the time, there's nobody, but we've got some, we're going to do it in the evenings. It's going to be after supper, so for them, some will already still be, you know, there, and it's going to be in the same place, and so we're, but this is something that takes some time, and to get people to come back there and remember, and but it's a wonderful thing. 6:30 Thursday evenings. And you might say, I don't think I can make it every Thursday. It's okay. You know, come when you can. I find what people will do is once they go a few times, it becomes addictive. Ministering to people becomes exciting. And but it's not something that you have to. People have lives, okay, of other things. And so this is an opportunity to serve and want to get you. So want you to sign up. Is that sign-up list back there? Not yet. We're going to have something put together. And right now I want you to just sign up saying, not the date yet, but just saying, I'm interested. And we've had enough already that have said, so now we're going to put the list, because it was going to be, hey, do we have enough people to even, if anybody would have, we'd have done it. But we have enough people to say, yeah, I want to be involved in that. So let's get a list together and so we can begin planning that. Amen. And then the Creation Conference, I'm excited. I felt like this morning we kind of got a little preview on that. Right, this, we got started on that creation, and I thought, is he gonna come? Maybe we cancel that meeting. We'll just no, but that was great, and I'm excited. It just encourages me. There's so much there, so much involved with it. But take some of those invitations. If we've run out, we'll get some more. But take those invitations and just invite. It's also just a great opportunity to just invite people to let them know about what we're doing over here, and so plan on that. And look forward to what God has for us over the next. You know, you ever say, you know, after I get through this, we're going to slow down. I say that about every week. I was thinking, once we get past the weddings, and then we got camps, and then we go and schedule other things, and then I schedule other things. And I don't want to keep you over busy, but I do want to be occupied till the Lord comes. Amen. Amen. Let's turn our hymnals. Find your hymnal once again. Turn over to number 278. Let's all stand together. 278. Thank you. Is with us today, all day. Rarely do we get a missionary that is willing to give up a whole Sunday. Amen. And so we appreciate them coming. I feel like already we've got enough information that when we read their letters, it's going to be faces and personalities that's coming off that page, right? And that's what we really want. And that's what missions is. It's not just about sending a paycheck. It's about a relationship with people that are across the world, and so that we can be a part of that. Brother, come on ahead this evening and preach the word.
Thank you, Pastor. Amen. Well, what a blessing to be able to come back to the church this evening, and after 17 years, as I said this morning, and see that the church is alive. What a wonderful thing. Almost everybody that came this morning came this evening, and this is a very good sign. So praise the Lord for that. Now, we want to go to the Word of God after we went this morning, and if you have any questions, please let us, you know, ask anything you want, maybe later after we finish the service. Now, we have a little notebook there that if you want to get our prayer letters for yourself in your computer, just put your name and if you want your address, GFA told us, you know, to put your address in case you change emails, then we'll send you the hard copy to your home address. But the most important thing is your name and your email address, because we want to try to send emails instead of hard copies. Now, please don't write on Egyptian hieroglyphics, okay? Write in capital letters, because I transfer that to GFA and sometimes I don't know exactly what it is. I don't know if it's a 1 or an L, or so capital letters, very clear, and then you will get our prayer letter, and that will be a blessing. Thank you so much for your prayers, for your support through so many years. And, you know, we are part of Heritage Baptist Church here in Tyrosville, serving the Lord in Spain. So praise the Lord for that. Now, this morning, we share a few things about the three worlds, the heavenly world, the earthly world, and the underworld. And we saw how this earthly world is so influenced with the underworld. And this earthly world, it's going to be gone forever. And the Lord will make new heavens and new earth. And as the pastor said before, we are looking forward to that. Yes, maybe the Lord will call in eternity, Heritage Baptist Church, come and sing a special music. And you all will come, and, you know, the Torre de Barra church will, you know, sit down listening to you, and then he will call the Torre de Barra. Now the Torre de Barra's, time. And maybe we'll hear a special number from the archangels and the cherubs, and that will be a blessing, you know, forever and ever. Wonderful thing. We're going to enjoy an eternity with the Lord. What a blessing. Now, this morning, as I said, the three worlds, and then everybody in the earthly world is with chains, you know, of Satan, and he will not lose anybody. He wants to keep everybody tight, very tight with his chains, because he does not want anybody to go to heaven. He wants to take everybody with him to hell. But praise the Lord that Jesus came and he broke the chains of sin. He broke the power of Satan. And now he's giving us eternal life through the death and of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And then he gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us the Bible. He gave us the church. And what a wonderful thing to be able to be free from Satan, from the chains of sin. But there is more. Actually, God wants us to have victory maybe surprised by the defeat, but he wants to live us a victorious Christian life. So as the brother said before, we need to put on the whole armor of God, look into heaven, do not love the world. And now the fourth point of the message of this morning is the Great Commission. We are in the earthly world, and we are the only ones. Jesus is not coming to come back to die the second time. Now he is trusting on his people. He, in a sense, we are doing his work because he told us to do it. Now in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now let me tell you something. When Luke wrote the book of Acts, the uttermost part of the earth, do you know where was it? Was Spain. In that northwestern part of Spain, we have a city in the region of Galicia. We have a city that is called Finis Terrae. Now, if you know a little bit of Latin, you know what Finis Terrae means. Finis, terra, land. Finis Terrae. There is no more land because United States America was not known in Luke's days. So the Lord Jesus said, "You will be witnesses unto me and to the uttermost part of the earth." Spain. Now, two people in the Bible wanted to go to Spain. One in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, for the wrong reason, you know who was that? Jonah. The Lord told Jonah, go to Nineveh, and because I want you to be a missionary in Nineveh. And Jonah said, "Oh no, Lord, I am not going to go to Nineveh. I am going to go to Spain." And the Lord said, "No, you're not going to go to Spain." So he was swallowed, by a big fish. But in the New Testament, there was somebody that wanted to go to Spain. And I think he made it. The Apostle Paul says, when I go to Spain, and in the book of Romans, chapter 16, he says that two times. Now, tradition says, we don't know exactly if Paul went to Spain, but tradition says that he really went to Spain. If you come and visit us, I hope not all at once, okay? If you come to visit us, I will take you to Tarragona, which is a Roman city, and in that city of Tarragona, it's 2,000 years old, probably more than 2,000 years old. There is a Roman circus, there is an amphitheater, and there are so many Roman ruins there. And there is a statue of Paul with a book and a sword. I don't know the sword. Maybe he was wearing, he was taking a sword when he went to, his missionary journeys, maybe. But in one side of the statue, it says, "This is the man that has influenced this world the most," which is very true, apart from Jesus. And in the other side of the statue says, "If you pray a holy prayer in this place, you will be out of purgatory 300 days. Now, if that was true, there should be a big line of people praying. There is nobody there praying because they do not believe that. But what a wonderful thing that the Lopez family, together with many other missionaries, we have been able to go to Spain. I was born in Spain. Paki was born in Spain. As I said this morning, we know the language, we know the culture, and we just fit in, and that is a real, real blessing when you are trying to reach the people. So you will be witnesses unto me and to the uttermost part of the earth." And then, if we go to the book of Matthew 28, this passage is known by the Great Commission. Now, I call this passage the greatest commission in life. Why the greatest commission? There are many important commissions in life. If you go to NASA here, not too far away from here, NASA, the astronauts, and they have, who wants to be an astronaut? Maybe you want to be an astronaut, right? When I was a little boy, I said, "Hey, what do I want to be when you grow up? An astronaut," And many people want to be an astronaut, maybe a medical doctor, maybe a lawyer, maybe a salesman. And there are many important commissions in life. But those commissions have an ending. At least in Spain, when you are 65 years old, or 66, maybe 67, the company, maybe you have been, you know, a great person. Maybe you have been a CEO, in your company. You have done wonders in your company. But when you reach 67, doesn't matter what you have done in that company, they will call you. And if you have been a very important person in that company, maybe they will do a dinner for you. Maybe they will give you a golden ring, a little wallet or something. And they will say, okay, here is a check. See you later. You are done. But in this great commission, it doesn't matter if you're 65, 66, 67, 70. This commission is forever and ever and ever. Now, I call this the greatest commission in life. The greatest commission because it doesn't matter if you're 65. You still have the calling of the Lord to be in that business of reaching souls for Christ wherever you are, wherever you go. So this is the greatest commission because we are not dealing with the moon, we are not dealing with Mars, we are not dealing with cars, we are not dealing with vacuum cleaners, we are dealing with souls. And souls are eternal. And it's so important that we understand that regardless what you have done in life, it doesn't matter if you have been an astronaut or a doctor or a lawyer, this is much greater. Because when you are 65, it's done. Everything is over. But in the greatest commission in life, you are keeping on and on and on and on, and you are going to have much fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ if you have followed His will and His steps and His counsel. So today I want to speak with you about the greatest commission in life. What is greatest? Why is the greatest commission in life? Because we are dealing with souls that are eternal, and we actually the one that gave the great commission, it is not the President of the United States. It is not somebody very important. It is the second person of the Trinity. The Lord Jesus Christ said, here is what I want you to do for your life forever and ever. It doesn't matter if you are a doctor or an astronaut, if you are a doctor or an astronaut, or you are a lawyer, or you are an electrician or a carpenter, you do and you fulfill your commission, but you must understand that on the top of this important commission that you are fulfilling in your life, you have a greater commission to fulfill, and that is to reach souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I went this evening, and I don't want to be too long, but this evening I want to emphasize three words in the great commission, which I call the greatest commission in life. I want to emphasize faith, obedience, and diligence. In this life, Christians and non-Christians use these three words: faith, obedience, and diligence. If you want to do anything in life, you need to have faith, obedience, and diligence. Let's say that people that do not know the Lord, do they have faith? Yeah, for sure. Thousands, and every time that we got a plane, Paki and I, we go to the airport, the planes are filled up. In the 70s, 60s, it was not that way. I came to the United States for the first time when I was 17 years old with a group of pastors. I came, and the plane was not filled up, was very empty. But now, every time that we fly, airports are filled up. Now, thousands of people, including myself and Paki, were using faith every day. When we got the plane tickets to come to America this time, I tried to, find a good deal, I don't want to go first class, definitely, it's very expensive. I want to go to the last, in the last seats, and I tried to find the cheapest thing, that I can find. So I had faith. I had faith. I had a lot of faith. I found, the plane tickets in the internet. I called Paki. I said, Paki, what do you think? That is okay? Okay. Now, I came a point that I needed to put my credit card. All right? So I took my credit card, and I put the 20 numbers, I believe, and then the expiration date, and those three numbers. And then I pushed the button. and everything disappears. Now, is that faith? It's faith. It's much faith. And I am not the only one that does that. Many people do it because they have some kind of faith. Thousands of people do it. What about obedience? Let's say that in the just a regular world, there is that teenager or that, you know, grown-up person, man or lady, it doesn't matter, that is very rebellious. And he says, I am very rebellious. And I am going to go against everything. So when he goes to the gas station, and instead of going to the regular gas, he goes to the water hose. And because he's rebellious, he wants to go against everything, he puts water on the tank. Do you think that he will do that? No. I mean, everybody has common sense. And we have faith, and we obey, you know, and we put gas, regular gas, instead of water. And because we want to follow the rules, if we don't want to have, you know, a lot of troubles and a lot of problems. Now, faith, obedience, and diligence. Everybody in life must be diligent. Let's say August 25th, we have a flight that it will depart from Philadelphia, August 25th, you know, in a month. It will depart from Philadelphia to Barcelona, straight flight. Oh, what a blessing, straight flight. Philadelphia, Barcelona, daily flight, straight flight. So, let's say that our plane departs at 5 o'clock and we must be diligent. So we must be in the airport at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 2 hours before. And then this means that we have to get ready like 2 o'clock because we have like an hour and a half, or 1 o'clock because we have an hour and a half of traveling. But they say, oh, don't worry, the plane will wait for me. Will the plane wait for us? No. I mean, everybody in life is having faith to a point, obedience, you know. We must follow the rules. I mentioned today to my wife that as we are traveling, we went to Washington, and then we flew from Washington, Seattle to Philadelphia, and then we got a car, and we went to Michigan, and then Illinois, Michigan, Kentucky, South Carolina, Florida. Now, in Florida, you have a lot of cops. I don't know if I am true. You say yes, it's true. But we must follow the rules if we don't want to get on trouble, you know. So, in the spiritual realm, we must have also faith, obedience, and diligence if we want to accomplish something for the Lord, fulfilling this great commission, the greatest commission in life. So, faith. Do I need faith to fulfill the greatest commission? Yes, I need faith, because sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes, you know, I am in Spain, or you are here in America, and I have an opportunity to preach to a group of people, and maybe, you know, that morning I had a headache, or maybe I was not feeling, you know, that encouraged to share the gospel, but I must have faith on what Jesus told us to do, and in the Great Commission, it's not difficult to have faith. I call the greatest commission the sandwich passage. Why do I call the greatest commission the sandwich passage? Because there are two promises on the greatest commission. I am going to use my left hand for the first promise, like the top bread of the sandwich, if you don't mind. And the Lord Jesus Christ in this greatest commission, let's start reading in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Now, I know that maybe there is some people here that doubt. Maybe you are doubting what I am going to preach today. I hope that you are not in that crowd. So there were two types of people. One that worshipped the Lord and they said, yes, Lord. And some had some question. They doubted the Lord. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So, the top promise. So, Lord, I don't feel preaching the gospel today, I don't feel sharing the gospel today because I don't have too much power. Although in Acts 1:8, the Lord said that ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. So the Lord Jesus Christ, that has all power in heaven and in earth, is giving us through the Holy Spirit His power. So when we go into the common market of life, now what is that common market of life? What is the mission field? Now I didn't say that this morning, but because it was in my full point, the mission, there are not many mission fields. Sri Lanka and Africa and Spain and South America. No. There is only one mission field. Do you know the name of the mission field? It is called the earthly world. The earthly world. Now, I am going to go back to Spain with Paki, my wife, August 25th, and I am not going to go to the southern part of Spain. So don't think that because I say I'm going to Spain, I am going to, you know, cover the whole country of Spain. I will not be able to. So I am not going to go to the south. I am not going to go to the west. I am going to go to a corner, east corner, northeast corner, and I am going to draw a circle around me. All right? And that circle will be my mission field. In that circle, it's Torredembarra, El Tarragonés. It's an area. Torredembarra is 15,000 people in the summertime, like Coco here in Florida. Instead of 15,000, you know, people come and we have 70,000 people. Because it's a very high tourist area, Torredembarra. You know, beaches and hotels and, like Epcot here, we have a PortAventura. It's like an amusement park. Huge. Everybody goes to that amusement park. Very expensive, by the way. And I want to draw a circle, and that circle will be Torredembarra, will be El Tarragonés, 15,000 people in Torredembarra, in the summer 70,000 people, but in general in that area it's like 1 million people. And in that circle I will put my neighbors, I will put my family, I will put my relatives, I will put my friends, I will put, you know, everybody. So this is my mission field. Sometimes I will get out of that circle and maybe go to the south to help another missionary, or maybe to Mallorca to help another missionary, and I may do that, but I will come back to my circle. Now, I want you to do the same thing. You draw a circle around yourself. And in that circle will be your friends, your neighbors, your relatives, your doctor, your lawyer, your mailman, and everybody. And I will never be able to go in to that circle. And you will never be able to go into pastor's circle. And you will never be able to go into that brother's circle. So every one of us, the Lord has put us in a place, and we have a mission field. And there is only one mission field. There are not many. There is only one. And it's called the earthly world. Sometimes, you know, you get up in the morning and you don't feel like going into the mission field of witnessing or anything, and because you don't have strength, but you must remember by faith, first point, that you are serving the one that has all power in heaven and in earth. And let me tell you something, He has all power under the earth as well. So He has all power over the angels, archangels, cherubs, Lucifer, all the animal kingdom, all the flower kingdom, all the vegetable kingdom. He has all power, all power. He has power over the earthquakes and hurricanes and tornadoes. He has all power. And we are His representatives. We represent the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the missionaries that He is telling us, okay, you need to do something because I am telling you, and this is the greatest commission. So, have faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. I put my faith on two men, May 19, and I'm going to put my faith on August 25th on two men, the pilot and the co-pilot. So I want to put my whole faith in the one that has all power. Now the second promise that I have to apply faith, my first point, is in the another promise. And it's found in the end of the Great Commission. And lo, the one that has all power in heaven and in earth and under the earth, says, and lo, I will, and I am with you always. When is he going to be with us? Always. Even unto the end of the world. What a blessing. So this is why I call the sandwich passage. It says, I have a promise here and another promise here. So that is a wonderful thing that I can place my complete faith on the one that is giving me the greatest commission in life. I have a power and I will be with you. Now, as the same as this morning, he is not going to do what I need to do. He's doing some things, and he's not going to do some things that I need to do. So he's fulfilling his part. I have all power, and I will be with you. Don't worry. Now, you will have to do something that I will not do for you. What are the things that he will not do for us? Now, in the Great Commission, in the greatest commission in life. Now, it's in this passage. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So now comes the second word in my message, which is obedience. So now I have faith on the two promises, and now to be able to fulfill the greatest commission, faith, with faith comes obedience. So the Lord Jesus said, go. Go into that circle that you have drawn. Don't go anywhere else. Go where I send you. Has God sent you to Spain? No, you are helping us to go to Spain. Praise the Lord. And you have a mission field wherever you live, wherever you work, because you have drawn a circle and that is your mission field. So we need to be obedient to the Lord. Now, the important thing is not how many miles you go, you know. Oh, what a wonderful thing that you are traveling, you know, 7,000 miles to go to Spain. Oh, Brother Lopez. No. It doesn't matter where you go, because the mission field is the earthly world. So I am going to have to fulfill my part on the greatest commission, and you need to fulfill your part. So as you go, into work, as you go into the doctor, as you go into the airport, as you go into that restaurant, as you go on vacation, as you go to wherever you go, as you go, make, the Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now, when I'm in America, I only read the King James, okay? In case you have some doubts. King James. When I'm in Spain, I cannot use the King James. Okay? So I need to use a Bible version that is very, very good. It's called the Reina Valera, 1960. Maybe some of you that have been to Honduras, you were reading that Bible version. Reina Valera is, it's older than the King James. It's older. It was translated by a monk that came to know the Lord as his personal Savior. And he translated the whole Bible, and he had to flee because the Roman Catholic Church wanted to kill him. So he translated the whole thing, and then Casiodoro de la Reina, another priest, he revised that version, and then we have had several revisions. And the King James comes from the Textus Receptus, and the majority text, and the Reina Valera comes from the same source, okay? Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic. So in the Spanish version, Reina Valera, when I read this verse 19, says, go ye therefore and make disciples. The Greek word is matheteo. So go ye and make disciples. Making disciples is the heart of the Great Commission. Many people emphasize the going. It doesn't matter if you travel 5,000 miles or 20 miles to your circle. Many people emphasize, how many have you baptized? You know, 1 year ago, somebody asked me, how many have you baptized last year? Because if you are not baptizing 100 people, you are not doing anything. I baptize people that they after went to the world, back to the world. I don't want that. And every time that I have a baptismal service, I have a discipleship course. And, you know, I try to make sure in that discipleship course, the first thing that I want to make sure is that they know the Lord is the personal Savior. And sometimes, you know, having that kind of discipleship, some that realize that they don't know the Lord, they have come to know the Lord as the personal Savior. Happens the same thing with a membership class. You know, I have a membership class. And before they become members, I want to make sure that they know the Lord. Actually, in Spain, we have many people from South America coming to Spain as an immigrants because we share the same language. And it's very easy for them to come to Spain instead of France or instead to other countries that they speak other languages. So they come to Spain, and I ask them, they come to church sometimes in Sunday morning, somebody will show up, and many, many times people show up. And, you know, where are you from? Well, I'm from Costa Rica. And, well, I was going to church in Costa Rica. I grew up in church. And then, it doesn't matter to me if they say that. I always ask them, now, if you die today, where will you go? Are you 100% sure that you will go to heaven if you die? Some of them tell me, well, not 100% by 95. If they tell me 95, I know that they do not know the Lord as the personal Savior. So I meet with them and I try to share the gospel with them. And then many of those people have come to know the Lord as the personal Savior. So we, in the obedience situation, we need to obey the Lord. And we do not have to emphasize how many miles we travel or how many people we baptize. We need to make sure that we are making disciples. So go ye therefore and make disciples. And now Paki and I, after somebody comes to know the Lord as their personal Savior, we try to have a discipleship class. It's a 16 lesson discipleship class, and she has a discipleship class with ladies. I do have with men. If there is a married couple, we go together, and we try to, you know, teach the people that they have come to know the Lord as the personal Savior. So we have had many discipleship classes through the years. Go ye therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, do you agree with me? Answer to me, okay? Do you agree with me that this is more, the greatest commission is more important than any other commission? Yes. Do you agree with me? Okay. If I was working for Ford, okay, the car company, and I was a salesman, no. I am not a quick prayerism type of salvation. I am not that one, you know, that man or that Spanish man that you know, I say, yeah, last week I had 70 people pray to know the Lord, you know, do the sinner's prayer, and I read a prayer letter saying, you know, I had 100 people or 70 people. No, I don't know, I am against that, okay? I am against that. But it's very important that if I work for Ford, that I sell cars, is it not? If I work for Ford and I do not sell cars, what will they do? They will find somebody else that sells cars. Now, if we're in the greatest commission, what is our goal in the greatest commission? Lead people to Christ. This is the goal. Make disciples. Now, I don't want you to put on the spot, okay? Please. Because when I do that, there are three fingers pointing at me. Now, how many souls? If this is the greatest commission and the most important commission in life, much more important than being an astronaut, okay? If this is the greatest commission in life, how many souls have we been able to lead to Christ in the last 10 years? I am not talking about the whole congregation because you may do some witnessing and you may have some, you know, soul reaching. But I am talking to John. I don't know if there is a John here or no. I am talking to Paggy. I am talking to Joaquin. I am talking to Peter. I am talking to John. I am talking to Mary. Okay? Every one of us. How many souls have we been able? If we have thrown, you know, the net, how many fish have we been able to catch? How many souls? Maybe our answer will be, well, Brother Lopez, I have not been able to lead too many souls. The question is, have you been able to lead one soul? Have you been able to disciple one soul? And teach that soul the basics of the scripture? Now, I have a recipe for you today. And I don't want to be too long, maybe 5 minutes and I am done, okay? I have a recipe for you that I hope that if you and I follow that recipe, I think that we'll be able to fulfill the greatest commission in life. And that comes in the diligence. So faith, obedience, and diligence. Now, in the diligence part, I have three words. First of all, goal. We must have goals. I know that in the companies like Ford Company or, you know, Chrysler Company, they have goals, you know. And if you work for FedEx, you know, you have goals, okay? And in the Christian life, we must have goals. Now, what could be a good goal for Peter, Mary, Paki, Joaquin, and John? What could be a good goal? Let's write a goal down, okay? Now, you're going to say, okay, Lord, I really like to lead somebody to Christ. I really want to lead somebody to Christ and disciple that person. So now, we're living in July, right? July 2026. Let's put a goal. And the goal will be, Lord, I want to lead one soul before Christmas. December of 2026. Do you think that the Lord will be happy with that goal? Or the Lord will say, come on, quick evangelism, you know, quick priorism. Do you think that the Lord will say that? Do you think that the Lord will be pleased if you have that goal in your mind and your heart? Say, Lord, I want to have a one soul, only one, not two, only one. If you have one soul in October, then keep praying for another soul for December, before Christmas, okay? But let's put a real goal, okay? Let us not say 10 souls or 20 souls. No, only one. Lord, give me. I want to have one soul before Christmas. So this is your goal. Do you want to sign with me for that goal? Yeah? Okay. Wonderful. So let's have a goal. One soul before Christmas. It's not difficult. The Lord will be pleased. Now the second thing is that I will not be able to do it in my own strength. I need the power of the Lord. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to start praying every day. Every day in the morning I will get up and in my prayer time I say, Lord, you know, I pray for my family, I pray for, you know, my church, I pray. And then I include that in my prayer. Lord, you know, last Sunday I heard Brother Lopez preach and I said, yes, I want to have a soul before Christmas. So Lord, please could you give me one soul? And every day you're going to have that a matter of prayer. Lord, give me one soul before Christmas. So you pray every day. And then it's faith, obedience, diligence, goal, prayer, and action. If you don't have any action, you are not going to get that soul. Let's say, any hunters here in the church? Any hunters? Do you hunt? Okay, you hunt. I never heard in my life. The only thing that I have hunt, it was in Florida many years ago, maybe 30 years ago, and I killed a squirrel. We went to a home of somebody, and they had a BB gun there, and I asked the family, what do you have that BB gun for? Well, we have a lot of squirrels around here, and they eat our cables, you know, they eat everything in the roof, inside of the roof, and we went to kill. I said, can I try? I was with my son. So, oh, sure, please, go ahead, serve yourself. So I was, you know, very nervous, you know, looking, Danny, there is a squirrel there. Pah! The squirrel came down. And the squirrel was half alive, half dead. So when I saw the squirrel down, the babies that he probably had on the nest came to my mind. I was so shocked. I said, if I could give life to the squirrel, I would, you know. I never had in my life. So, let's say that you're a hunter and you have a 12-pointer, you know, a deer, 12-pointer, 20 years from you. And you don't have to look at the mirror, and, you know, that thing, you know, you shot and you will kill that big buck. And the only thing that you need to do is use your finger. But you do not press that thing. Never press that thing, and that deer goes away. Will you kill the deer? You must have action. When the deer is 20 yards from you, pow! And then you will have the deer. So in the greatest commission, we have to do the same thing. So, goal, prayer, and action. Now, how do I do the action? Now, I said before about, you know, those cars that are beside the road, they are white with, you know, stripes, Christmas lights on the top, you know, and there is a man inside with a reader, and he always, you know, he's there, you know, wanting to catch you, and if you speed, he will go behind you, and you know the story, okay? I don't know if you have experienced that or not, but it's not real, very pleasant. They will write you a prescription that really works, you know? Next time you are not going to speed, I am sure. Okay? So we must have a spiritual radar in our minds. Every day when we go, we have that goal, and we pray, we must go into that circle with our radar on. To the restaurant with my radar on. To the store with my radar on. And we must look to change the conversation around. And if we don't can change the conversation around, we need to find a way to change the conversation around. To give an example, not for my glory, okay? But the other day, I was in a store with my wife and the lady, you know, I was paying, you know, with my credit card. I was paying, and the lady said, oh, because, you know, I cannot help, you know, when I open my mouth, everybody knows that I am not an American. So, oh, where are you from? I said, I am from Spain. Oh, wonderful, Spain is a beautiful country. I said, but I'm a citizen of a much better country. Oh, what is that? I said, it's called heaven. And one day I'm going to spend eternity in heaven, in the third heaven. And I had an opportunity to share the gospel. Only 2 minutes. It's for only 2 minutes, you know. And then I always try to finish those 2 minutes because sometimes people on the bus, you know, wanting to pay. And I said, the last thing that I say is, you have a Bible in your house? Read the Gospel of John. 21 chapters. Read one chapter a day, 3 minutes, and in 21 days, less than a month, you will have the whole Gospel of John read. So I encourage the people, you know, to read the Gospel of John. So if we have faith, we have obedience and diligence, and then we have goal, prayer, and action, and every time that we have an opportunity to share the gospel, if we don't have an opportunity to share the gospel, we change the conversation. We try to look for a crock to share the gospel. Oh, it is a wonderful thing. The best thing in this world, to the glory of the Lord, is to lead somebody to Christ. I have led to His glory many people. And then I have been able with Paki, you know, to disciple them. There is no greater joy. Do you know what are you going to take with you when you die? I don't know exactly how the name of that it's called, but a hurt. When somebody dies, you know the procession? It's a hurt. Hearse. Have you ever seen a hearse and the last car is a U-Haul truck? The Egyptians did that. But the only two things that you will be able to take with you when you go into eternity is Christ's character in yourself, the character of Christ, the measure of Christ in you, nothing else, and how many souls have you been able to take with you. Nothing else. You will not be able to take homes, watches, money, bank accounts, nothing. Nothing. Only Christ's character and souls. Will it not be a wonderful thing when you arrive heaven and you have a group of people waiting for you? Oh, Lord Lopez, thank you so much that you were not scared to share the gospel. You share the gospel with me and I die. And by the grace of God, I have been able to be here because you were faithful, fulfilling the greatest commission in life. Now, may the Lord help us because we will not be able to do that in our own power. We need the power of the Lord. And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto Finisterre. So we are going to go back to Spain August 25th. I believe we can count, because I know that we can count on your prayers. And you're going to pray for it. And yes, it's true, Pastor. We need to come to the church. You know, missionaries, it's a different thing when we come to the church and we shake your hands, we give you a hug, you know, and you see, you know, I see Pastor's personality and his wife, and thank you for the invitation, you know, great meal today and good fellowship. And, you know, you are so kind. And thank you for your support, financial support. And what a blessing to be able to go back to Spain as an arm of Heritage Baptist Church in Titusville, Florida. May the Lord bless you. And Pastor, it's your time.